Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to all of our guests. It's nice to have so many here. You know, sometimes our speaking schedule gets messed up because I mess it up. I'll forget something or leave something out, but Janet is my witness. Last Saturday, I told Wayne Brewer he was scheduled to speak today. He didn't even show up. Just kidding. It is nice that he was released from the hospital into his daughter's care, just what he wanted to do. So now he can be visited by his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren that feeds him. He does really well when he can be around his family. And if he had to go into some sort of a care facility, he would have not been able to have the visitors. So he's very happy to be where he is, and just ask that you keep praying for him that he will get better. There are many that would tell you that being a Christian is easy. There's no works involved. It's just a piece of cake. You just got to love everybody. Is that true? Is that what Christ taught? I think we'll see that this teaching is very contrary to what Christ taught. Let's start in the book of Matthew. Matthew 7, starting in verse 13. With so many things that are popular belief, it's very easy to go to the words of Christ and show that's not at all what he said. Matthew 7, starting in verse 13, Christ says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Following this statement, Christ went on to warn the disciples of false teachers. We're told to judge them by their works, not just accept anything that's taught to us, but to judge the teachers by their works. And it ends with a warning about false teachers, with a very strong warning. Dropping down to verse 21, Christ says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" That's a pretty stern warning for Christ to stand there and say, "I never knew you because you practiced lawlessness." The warning is that the broad and easy path is one that leads to destruction. The broad and easy path would lead us to believe that the way to life is actually easy. Nothing to it. This is very contrary to what Christ said. Satan's way is the broad and easy path, and it requires very little action. No change. Requires no growth. It's widely accepted, so it's easy to just go along with the society around us. But it leads to destruction. That is the end result of following Satan's way. The path that leads to life is narrow and difficult. That's the path that we need to be on. Never let anyone convince you that Christianity does not require works. Christianity is hard work. That's what we're told. That's the words that Christ is telling us. We just read that in his own words. He said it was going to be difficult. It's hard work because its direction and its purpose is counter to the way society is going, to the way that most people have accepted as a way of life. God's way is contrary to that. Man's desire is to please himself more than it is to please God. So it becomes easier to just accept things as they are. to just go along with everything, to give in to the natural way of man. And that's what mankind has been doing from the beginning. The problem with that is man's natural way is contrary to that of God. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, something people seem to forget a lot. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." God's thinking and his ways is so much above what natural man's thinking and ways are that we can't even comprehend them. Yet, mankind seems to think they're getting closer and closer all the time as they live an enlightened life. We all know Proverbs 14 and 12, but let's read it anyway. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death." Man's way seems right to a vast majority of people. They believe that they are so right, but they are actually dead wrong. And that's the path that they are on. Christ tells us we must get away from that way of thinking. We must follow the narrow, difficult path. The natural tendency is to seek the smooth and easy things, things that require very little work. Mankind has an inherent laziness when it comes to doing good, to being a Christian, to following God's way of life. Mankind doesn't like that. They want the easy way, things that require very little work. That's where the false teachers that Christ spoke about come into play. Remember, the warning started out that we need to walk that narrow path and ended up talking about false teachers. How does a false teacher gain a following? How do people start listening to them and thinking, yes, this is what I want to do? It's because it's what they want to hear. People want to be told that they're okay. And they want to be told that they're okay by someone that they think has the authority to tell them that they're okay. You're fine just the way you are. Let's turn over to Isaiah 30 and verse 9. We'll see this is a common thing that has happened, not just with mankind throughout history, but with God's people. Isaiah 30 and verse 9. "This is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, 'Do not see,' and to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits.'" The people told the prophets and teachers what to tell them. They told them what they wanted to hear. They didn't want to hear the law of God. They wanted to hear smooth, deceitful things. Things that told them they were okay. They didn't need to make any changes. "Don't worry about things in your life that are contrary to God's way of life," is what they wanted to hear. Because that was a much easier walk to take. To follow that broad path that leads to the wide gate. They did not want to put in the effort to follow God. It does take work. In his writing to Timothy, Paul told Timothy to stick to the word because there would be many who would not want to hear it. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 1. Second Timothy 4, starting in verse 1, Paul writes, "I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Paul laid it all out right there. Do you realize what you would be speaking against if you start speaking against God's word? He says, I am charging you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So he's setting the tone. This is how important this is. Verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Doesn't necessarily sound like an easy way to go, does it? For the time, and this time is in Timothy's time and Paul's time, but this time is in our time as well. And it's getting stronger and stronger in our time, even to the point where it's affecting the Christian nations, what were always referred to as the Christian nations. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. God's word has not changed. God's word will not change. Hebrews 13 and verse 8, we read, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why would people think God's word would change? God is not becoming enlightened over time by watching us. He's not waking up that his ways are archaic and ridiculous to live by. God's not going to learn a better way by watching mankind. See, God is eternal, and he's already millions of years before he ever created mankind, saw the result of Satan's way of life. He saw the rebellion. He saw the bitterness and the anger long before he ever created mankind. But somehow, Satan will go. And mankind accepts it because it's easier. Mankind wants to go that way. But God's seen the result of that way. He already knows where it's headed. He's known from the beginning what the result would be. He'll never fall in line with Satan's way of thinking. He's never going to change his mind about what's right and what's wrong. For those who teach, teach what is right. Never water down the Word of God. Never modernize the Word of God. Don't change the definition of the word love or marriage or anything that society is trying to take away from how God has described it. God's word is eternal and it stands the test of time far more than most people understand. God's already seen it all. It must be cute for God to hear his creation talk about how we're enlightening him and teaching him. For those who are being taught, don't look for easy ways. Don't turn your ear against the truth. You may hear something sometime that makes you uncomfortable. Maybe that's because you've let a sin back into your life. And it's a wake-up call. You know, we're to examine ourselves not just before Passover, but year-round. This is to be a constant process that we go through. Are we living God's way of life? Would we be doing the things we're doing if Jesus Christ were sitting next to us? When we hear something that makes us uncomfortable or makes us think that maybe we've got something in our life that doesn't belong there, it's a growth opportunity. God wants us to take that information, not beat ourselves up with it, not think that, oh no, I've just ruined my whole relationship with God, but we learn from it. We change. We grow. When God said, let us make man in our image, he was talking about a growth process. Not just looks. We got that from the very beginning. We're made in God's image. We're to become in God's image in every way possible. In our thinking, in our actions, our interactions with other people. It's more than just looking like God. That part was given to us. Where are you putting your energy in your life? There's a growing interest in God's church to worry about the politics of our country, to worry about the politics of the world, to be concerned with conspiracy theories, theories of underground cults and sex trafficking rings. There's such an interest in this stuff right now. And we've picked out this party is good and this party is bad. And we spend a lot of time reading into these things. And you know what? All these things exist. It's true. Because this is Satan's world. And that's how Satan operates. Yes, we need to be aware. But how much time are we spending delving into these subjects, researching? The reason the world is the way it is because it's Satan's world. This is Satan's government. These things have been going on since the beginning of time. That energy would be much better invested in making ourselves a better Christian. In looking into ourselves, what are we doing wrong? How are we living our lives? Are we doing what we've been taught, what God wants us to do? See, we don't want to get caught up in what's going on in the world, but if we're spending so much time researching all this stuff and worrying about it, we're already caught up in it. Not saying not to pay attention to things that's going on, but where's the level of energy that you're putting into that versus becoming a better Christian? The world's messed up. It's messed up because it's walking that wide path with a broad gate. It's headed for destruction. God knows it. The world's not going to get fixed by an impeachment process. The world will be fixed when Jesus Christ returns and all government is replaced. Christ isn't returning to make a better Republican Party or a better democracy. God already has his form of government, and that's what's going to replace everything. All of man's government. Let's turn over to Malachi 3, starting in verse 1. There's a lot we can learn from God's dealing with ancient Israel. Malachi 3, starting in verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant in the Lord, to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. Verse 5, and I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Do you think those who are living in this time, who were trying to live by God's way, were happy with what was happening in their nation? That was a terrible list of things we just read, but that's obviously what was happening at this time. Verse 6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances, and you have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. God doesn't offer that maybe their way might be better. He doesn't say, I see what you guys are doing, and you know, I understand now. That makes more sense than my way. He's warning them they're going down a path that leads to destruction. We can always learn from the example of ancient Israel. A lot of what we read there sounds like what's going on now. His overall message there is that we need to fear him and that he does not change. His laws had not gone away at that time. His laws have not gone away now. They are the same, and we need to be living by them. We need to be walking towards that narrow gate. Let's turn over to John 10, verse 9. What is that narrow gate? John 10, verse 9, Jesus Christ speaking says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. Abundant life is what Christ is offering. The very thing that so many think God's way of life takes from us, Christ says, I'm giving you. It's not a life of sacrifice, it's an abundant life. It takes work, and it's not easy because most of mankind has rejected it. We're not going against God, we're going against the world. We're not going against the better way of life. We're going against society. Who has proved his way is not better. He's proved it in his own life, in the lives of the demons that followed him, and mankind from the very beginning up till now. We cannot look at any of man's history and think that they've come up with a better way of life than God's plan. And the results have been wars and murders and breakdowns in society and family. All that is a result of following the broad way, Satan's way. It's not a meager, worthless life, but it takes work. But anything of value is worth working for. Turn over to Mark 10, verse 25. Because sometimes we might think, well, it's just too hard. It's hard swimming upstream. It's hard going against society. It's hard working in an environment where everybody thinks differently than I think. Mark 10, starting in verse 25, Christ says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. I can't even get a piece of thread through an eye of a needle a lot of times. Not that I do it a lot, but I've tried it a few times. I can't even get a piece of thread through there, and it's made for a piece of thread. Christ says it's easier for a camel to go through there than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Who can do it? Because a rich man's not that much different than you and me, other than they have money. They're still a man. Jesus looked at them, verse 27, and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. God can make it possible for us to live the way of life that we need to be living, obeying His laws. God gives us all the tools that we need. It would make no sense for Him to give us a job and then not give us anything to help us, to just throw us out there and say, all right, do it, knowing that we would be fighting society. Christ tells us it's possible, and they're going to give us the help that we need. God makes the impossible possible. God is a God of miracles. He always has been. And He still is today. Christ described the way as difficult, but He also described it as abundant. There's a reward to it. There's a reason to do it. It is worth it. It's difficult because it's against the world and the God of this world. Somehow, Satan has convinced man through history that his way is better. You know, I've said it many times, Satan is a horrible leader. He's a terrible leader. But he is an excellent salesman. He knows how to convince us. He is just so good at selling his way of life. Even though we can sit back and look at it and see it leads to destruction, mankind will follow that way over and over and over. Unfortunately, those who believe the lie and live it are not becoming like God as God had intended. They're becoming like Satan, the God of this world. They are becoming like his children. And Satan rebelled, and Satan is miserable. And that's the life that they're living. Let's follow the words of Jesus and walk that difficult way that leads to that narrow gate. Let's make sure every day we're on the right path. If life is too comfortable sometimes, maybe we should have stepped back and examined, am I just going along with the flow? Am I just following Satan's lead? We may have to make changes. Changes in our lives, but those changes will help us grow. Help us on that path to becoming more like God. Because our goal is much bigger than just being liked by people or fitting into the world around us. Some people just give up for those two simple reasons right there. They just want to fit in. Our goal is much bigger than that. Our goal is to hear the words spoken by Jesus Christ in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.